It's showtime. Hey, what up? It's Old Kenny here with you for a brand new episode of the Kenny Ho Show. Now, I actually kept my word. My word usually means nothing on this show. How many times have I been like, I'm gonna do this, and then not even come close to doing it? This show was supposed to become very, very Asian once upon a time, but I just talk about the same old white shit all day long. It's really hard to cater your show to people who aren't listening. Well, maybe just enough so that they can try to swoop right in and steal the KennyHoShow.com from right under my nose, hoping for a big payday. I mean, we all make mistakes. Even at the racetrack, you can bet on the wrong pony. And oh my goodness, they definitely bet on the wrong pony. This is the lamest horse there is in the game. They would call me Gimpy McGee if I were a racehorse. I don't know what the worst odds are. Is it like, I know in GTA, in the casino, the inside track, the horse racing part, I think the worst odds are like, what, like 30 to 1 or something? Let's say real life is like that. I'm definitely like the 40 to 1 horse. And people betting, they're like, that's impossible. 30 to 1 is as bad as it gets. They're like, no, we had to handicap for this retarded horse. You ever seen a horse that's not jacked? Gimpy McGee here. You guys are haters. I'm just big-boned. What was I saying? Oh yeah, Canada doesn't listen. China doesn't listen. Hong Kong doesn't listen. And I have to imagine even in the United States of America, if the greater majority of people who listen are not of yellowed skin. They have no distant relatives and ancestors that built a railroad, is what I'm getting at. I mean, I feel like at this point, I don't know that I ever tried to cater my show to anybody, even though, like, I know better. You know, I spent 2 bloody years learning about demographics and shit. But, turns out at the end of the day, when you do a show and you're not being paid, you don't give a rat's ass about that type of stuff. You just pick up a microphone because you enjoy doing this, and then you just do it. And if people like what you have to say, wonderful. But if they don't, well, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. Wait, why was I being so kind? People who don't like my show, who don't listen to my show, they can go to the racetrack and look up Gimpy McGee's stall and eat all of my horse shit. And because I'm the only fat horse in the history of horse racing, that means I've eaten a lot of hay and sugar. Meaning there's mounds and mounds of horse shite right behind me, you haters. Eat it, people who don't love old Kenny and his show. Gimpy McGee signing out. But what I was really trying to get at was, I kept my word. 5 minutes after the previous episode of the Kenny Ho Show, I believe I called it Hunkasaurus Rex, I did record another episode, but it just got really ranty. I think I went on for 40 minutes, and looking back, I'm like, maybe it's a solid 40 minutes. Or maybe I could talk way the hell less on a second shot. But I don't know if that's possible. I mean, I suppose the topic I want to talk about, I can talk about it less. We'll see. But certainly, this episode will be no shorter because I got some shit to get off my chest. On most weeks, there would be no time for a retake. I would just, hey, if for whatever reason I decided two episodes this week, great. Put up a second episode, old Kenny. The one you recorded a few days ago before you went back to work. There would be no time for me to be like, all right, I wasn't happy with it. Let's do a redo. Because I would be devastated and beaten the hell up at my new job. And the last thing on my mind would be doing a retake of the Kenny Ho Show to do it right, to do it well. The only thing on my mind is, do it for the money, old Kenny. You're finally making some good money. Hang in there. But literally the day that I recorded the two episodes of the Kenny Ho Show, 324 and 325, not hours later, I got a call from my boss being like, so, we're going in a different direction. One that doesn't include you. It includes literally everybody else that you've worked with and that we currently have on staff. Just not you. I didn't think that I could reach a brand new low, but I mean, at this point, am I that surprised? I should never, ever look at my life and be like, it can't possibly get worse. Because, you know, I'm not doing meth. I'm not like heroin ugly. I don't know what happened to me. I used to be pretty good looking. Like, at one point I drank, so like I was like a drunkard ugly, so I get that. But I haven't touched a drop of alcohol since my cousin's birthday. Wedding, not birthday. It's late at night right now. I have not been invited to a birthday party since I was like 12, I think. So no, is it not since her wedding I've touched alcohol, so I don't know. Maybe that stuff heals. Maybe I'm still alcoholic ugly despite not being a drunkard anymore. But it can always get worse. I should throw a birthday party. Now that it's entered my mind, I should throw a birthday party like if I were 12 years old. Cesus, you need to hear those words very carefully. I said I throw a party like I was 12 years old, not I'm going to throw a party and invite a bunch of 12-year-olds. No, I'm good. Listen, I'll try to invite some like 19-year-old girls, despite me being 30 as of this next birthday, but yeah, no 12-year-olds. I'm good. I have zero interest in having anything to do with them. Even when Lizzie McGuire was like 12 and like Hannah Montana was 12. I'm like, these are not the episodes I liked watching. Even as a 15, 16 year old, I'm like, I prefer to see, you know, Lizzie when Hilary Duff got hot, which is around, I don't know, I feel like there was only like two or three seasons. They must have been shot well apart from each other. Or maybe she wasn't 12 when the show started. Because I remember when she was like 15, 16, and I was like, I think I'm a year older than her, so I must have been like 16, 17, and be like, goodness gracious, this is the most beautiful girl of all time. And I don't know, when it comes to Miley, I never found her to be attractive. It just, I think I was like 20 or 21 or something when Hannah Montana came out. So I preferred the episodes that were a little later because I didn't want to be a 20, 21-year-old who was watching a show starring like an 11, 12-year-old girl. It was better when she was, I don't know, slightly more mature. You know, just had a better honing of her craft and such. That was a great show. I think it must be on Disney Plus. I should probably watch it, but I'm probably not going to. I should throw Hannah Montana birthday party. That sounds great. Everybody gets blonde wigs and have cake and get their faces painted and hell, I'll even splurge for a bouncy house. Man, I just priced myself out of this. I don't want to say it's a dream. It's not really a dream. It was just like a, in a moment, inspiration in the moment. But, you know, I've moved on from it. Just like how that bloody job moved on from me. Wow, I was pretty blindsided. Now, I knew I wasn't going to be working there as much because remember I said I was hurting myself like repeatedly at this job and that anyone who worked that same station as me was going to hurt themselves over and over again. And even though I didn't want that to happen to others, I mostly didn't want that to happen to me. So I asked to move stations and it seemed like that was fine because, you know, they need people. Like these bottom rung jobs right now, dime a dozen, places that cannot function normally. A lot of like even food industry jobs I hear, like restaurants and such, I hear they can't even keep their regular hours. They have to like just choose to serve lunch or dinner, but not both because they don't have enough people to work both. So this place, bottom rung type of job, with excellent pay somehow, but it's definitely not a high education and glamorous type of job. So yeah, they definitely are in the same boat as so many bottom rung jobs. They don't have enough people. They need way more staff than they do. So I'm like, well, I mean, I can't work this station, but other people can work this station. I'll just work this other station. And I thought there was an understanding that that's what was going down. Because I got to not work that station for a couple days. And then I came back. And I was told by the boss, oh yeah, don't worry, you're not, you don't have to work that station anymore. Don't worry about it. You can work this other station. And I came back one day. He's like, okay, Kenny, so you're on this station today. I'm like, well, I thought we had an understanding that I was never going to work there again. Well, long story short, the solution was going to be cut my hours, but move me to this different station. Which, okay, not ideal, because let's face it, I'm not there because I love this job. I'm there because I love the pay. But I'm like, whatever, I can live with it, you know? I still have another job, so if I combine the two, I'll still have what resembles full-time hours. I'll be able to pay my rent and such and get by. And then, out of the blue, this dude was supposed to call me to let me know when I was supposed to come in. Like, I guess he didn't decide what the hours being cut looked like. And then, so I do get a call from this guy. And the text I looked, it seemed ominous. I'm like, why does this guy want to talk to me at all? He could simply say, okay, Kenny, tomorrow you're in at this time as opposed to this time. And your hours look like this. But no, he wanted to talk. I'm like, I got a real bad feeling about this. And sure, old Kenny's a pessimistic creature, so I'm always thinking negatively. But this time, I was right. This man shit-canned me on the phone. Days after being like, oh, no, we want you here. We need people. We'll just adjust the hours. It's fine. And this is how soft I am. While he was telling me this on the phone, I did everything I could, said all that I could to make sure that he didn't feel bad about firing me. I was like, oh no, it's okay, don't worry about it. Yeah, I have that other job. Even though that other job does not make ends meet, I was like, oh, I'll be fine. Oh, I'll be great. Thanks for the opportunity anyway. Sometimes I need to get rid of the mirrors in my home because it's getting to the point where I can't even look myself in the mirror anymore. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, I don't miss the job. I don't. But I'm going to miss that money. That money was good. That money was, rent was never going to be an issue again type of money. But that job is so rough that I just don't miss it. Like, I was good. Like, I wasn't devastated or whatever. I felt blindsided. I felt caught off guard. But it wasn't like I was crushed. Like, I didn't go cry about it or anything. And come on, it's old Kenny. Old Kenny cries about everything. I was actually almost relieved. Like, once I got over all the awkwardness of getting shit canned, because this is the first time I've ever been fired from a job. Usually I fire the people. I mean, in hindsight, looking at it, I'm a little bit annoyed. I feel like for him to say, no, 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 we want you here. We need you here. We're going to keep you on. Don't you worry about it. And then a few days later, get rid of me. I'm not even so much so annoyed about being gotten rid of, but like, but the dude needed to make that decision day one, not like a few days later, because in between those few days, with the way the job market is right now, I could have gone and gotten another job. Because the way it is right now, I don't know in how it is in your neck of the woods, but I hear the States is the same thing. But certainly here in Canada, the bottom rung jobs, if you're willing to work, they will take you. And I've experienced that. When I was applying for gigs, during the which time I applied for this one, every job I applied for, I got a callback. And it wasn't just a callback as in an interview. I didn't get interviewed. I got job offers. They just asked me. The only thing they were interested in was knowing, okay, so how many hours per day can you work, and which days exactly do you want to work? So honestly, the 4 days in between this guy saying, no, it's cool, we're going to keep you, and changing his mind and telling me, nah, never mind that, go eat shit, I could have gotten another gig. And who knows, a couple of days at this point could be the difference between me getting a gig that's good, that I might like, and the leftover shit. And honestly, thank the good Lord I live with my folks still. I live in my daddy's basement. So not everything is on me, like not all the bills and expenses and such is on me. Where like, if I miss a couple days of work, because even though I got job offers left, right, and center, it wasn't like I, you know, applied at noon and then got a job offer at like 2 in the afternoon. It was, no, it still took a couple days for these people to get back to me. So let's say it takes a week. The process takes a week before I go find a new job. Dude, that could be the difference between having enough for the month and not having enough for the month. But enough about that. Honestly, I've moved on. I'm over it. Honestly, the only thing was, yeah, the money was good, sure, but I know I have worked a job that's way easier and you make roughly the same amount of money. This was definitely a bit more than even that, like crazy high paying job. But I have to imagine the reason why it's so high is because they can't get anybody. They have to throw money at people in order to entice them. And eventually that well's going to dry. I'm saying I would have been eventually fired, or I definitely would have quit. This was not one of those situations where I'm like, I found my new career. I'll be here for the rest of my life. This was a, okay, how long can I hang on for? Or I suppose what ended up happening was, how long are these jabronis going to keep me on for? I did not intend to talk about this for almost 20 minutes, but the Kenny Ho Show, I suppose, is a comedy entertainment of sorts. Yeah, I guess that's what the audience, you the listener, gets from it. But I guess for me, at times, it's a therapy session. Listen, if I go Patreon, if you're good with giving me $5 a month, there'll never be any therapeutic aspects to this show ever again. But until then, this is the price of admission, bud. Hear me talk about my shit. Hey man, be a pal. I'm back to being under the poverty line. But I guess almost 20 minutes into the show, actually if I add that theme music in, it probably is already 20 minutes into the show. Well, 20 minutes into the show, let's get started on the things that I wanted to talk about today. First and foremost, Well, there's a good news, bad news situation. Bad news. Today's a bad news day. All right, bad news. There's two trailers that are out right now. Well, actually, three trailers. Bad news first. Three trailers out right now. And only one of these projects I'm looking forward to. The first one, it looks like it's complete and utter horseshite. It looks like Gimpy McGee's doing, except Gimpy McGee is a entertaining and fun character. There are laughs to be had when Gimpy McGee shows up, but this movie looks like a dull, classless, embarrassing attempt to cash out on a kind of familiar name, and that's the new Uncharted movie. I had no idea they actually went through with making this. I thought it was just rumored that they were going to put Tom Holland in it, and when I saw the trailer, I'm like, oh my god, they actually did it. This has to be one of the worst ideas Sony has concocted over the past few years. Because they've been doing good ever since that email leak thing. They've bounced back from it. They got into bed with Marvel. Great idea. That's made them a lot of money. Just keep milking that Spider-Man franchise. Venom, Sinister Six. Why not? Those are all good decisions. But this, okay, I know you like Tom Holland. Don't get me wrong. He's a talented young man. But he's no Nathan Drake. This man is not really a man. This dude looks like, if you told me this kid was like 14 years old, I'd believe you. Like, I remember in the trailer, at one part, they were like, aren't you too young to know this stuff? I'm like, yeah. You took the words right out of my mouth, bud. He's totally too young to know about this shit. It's such a leap. It requires such suspension of disbelief for me to be like, yeah, this 14-year-old kid totally knows about these ancient treasures and these obscure, perhaps doesn't even exist places. Yeah, sure, this kid would definitely be so interested in this stuff and know about all this stuff. This has to be one of the worst examples of Hollywood aging down everything. Everybody and everything needs to be younger. This did not call for younger. Nathan Fillion from Firefly, he funded his own fan film, and from what I remember, it was damn good. I'm not saying you necessarily have to cast him, but if given the choice between casting a boy or someone who's definitely in the ballpark of the right age and certainly personality-wise is the right dude to pick. Now, there's an actor who was on Stargate Atlantis. When I was playing Uncharted, I'm like, this guy looks like, if they ever did a movie, they should cast this guy because he looks spitting image to Nathan Drake. And I'm pretty sure, I don't recall watching all of Stargate Atlantis. In fact, I didn't. I have like at least three of the seasons unopened sitting somewhere. But from what I recall, he's kind of a Nathan Drake type of character. He looks the part and he acts the part. That guy should have been cast. If they cast that guy, I'm there. Because I would have been like, they did it. They did their homework. They knew what they needed, what they're looking for. These guys know the source material and they're doing it justice. I'm there. But now, Marky Mark is Sully. I'll never watch this. I don't give a shit if I'm completely wrong and this is like a great movie, even though just looking at the trailer, that usually takes the best parts of your movie. And I sat there and I was bored the whole time. I'm like, I know part of it is probably because I don't agree with the casting choices, but I think the other part of it is just this movie just plain old sucks. I mean, I'm one person. My protest doesn't mean anything, but I don't give a shit. Most things I do mean nothing to anybody, yet I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do. Not everything needs to be younger. You know, this is a huge game franchise. So people have expectations of what the character is and what this franchise is about. You should have stuck to that. Why bother making movies based on this this game, based on the world and the characters of the game, if you're going to just make it a teeny bopper piece of shit anyway? Boom, let's keep this train rolling. It's midnight right now. I'm going to plow through and then go to bed. Cry myself to sleep. More specifically, the second trailer, Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League. It's made by the people who did the Arkham games. Rocksteady? Yeah, so there's pedigree there. They know that world. I'm sure it'll be fun. I like who they chose. You know, Harley Quinn, of course. You know, she's the it girl right now. Shark guy, I don't know his name. Black Deadshot, I'm assuming because Will Smith was black in the movie. And some other guy, I don't know. But here's the thing. When the Justice League showed up in this trailer, I'm like, I want to play as the Justice League. Why the hell are we playing as the Suicide Squad? That's like playing 2K, and you're given the choice between playing primetime LeBron James or Cade Cunningham with his Detroit Pistons, and you choose the latter, not the former. It's like dating a girl who's slightly past her prime. Let's say she's like, if she's white, she could be like 25, and that could be true. But let's just say, you know, like she's 32 or something. And you could tell a few years ago, man, she was quite the looker. If I got her a few years ago, man, those boobs are a little bit higher. The caboose is a little bit tighter. And, you know, what is this? She's got a little bit of a belly going, you know? If I got her a few years ago, looking at these Instagram photos from a few years ago, that was flat a few years ago. But you know what? She's got a nice personality. I like spending time with her. So, okay, well, I'm not ashamed to walk with her down the street. Oh my God, it's Cutter Girl. What an inopportune time to bump into Cutter Girl. Then, you know, I look at her and, like, see basically what was the perfect girl for me, and then I turn to this washed up broad, and then I just look back up at Cutter Girl, and I'm like, if you need me to kill this girl, if that's what it takes, you know I'll do it. Because I'm calling it right now already. When I play this game, Superman's gonna do some cool shit. He's gonna fly around and he's gonna, you know, be the Man of Steel and be invincible unless I got kryptonite bullets. And he's gonna do all kinds of unbelievable, breathtaking things. And I'm just gonna be like, wow, why the hell am I playing as a shark mother when I could be playing, or at least ideally would like to be playing, the last son of Krypton? Screw you, Rocksteady, you bunch of idiots. Boom, and then finally, the third trailer I wanted to talk about. I'm not even going to bother with a Bat Family game. I was so disappointed because that was supposed to... And I'm telling you I'm not crazy. Well, I'm telling you I am crazy. But not in this case. I could have sworn when they announced that game, that was announced as a three-person co-op game. But now it's only two-person co-op game. I'm like, but there's four members of the Bat Family. Why isn't this a four-person optional multiplayer game? If you got friends, you can play as up to four of them, or you can play by yourself, and the AI, I was going to say CPU, the AI controls the rest of them. Makes no sense, but the hell with that game. I'll probably end up playing it, because, oh my God, Bat Girl's in it. Not Batwoman, Batgirl, Barbara Gordon, Alicia Silverstone, what up? But on the note of bats, did you see the Batman trailer? Holy crap, this thing is amazing. I got good vibes from it from the teaser. I was impressed. But seeing that trailer in its full, I can't wait to watch it. It's after Star Wars, after all those debacles, I've lost faith in movies, major blockbuster movies. I have not looked forward to watching anything since the Star Wars movies. I guess since Last Jedi, even though I was kind of on board with the last one there because Palpatine was back, then I thought about it some more. I'm like, wait, that's a horrible idea. That really just shits on the ending of Return of the Jedi there. But this will be the first movie since then where I'm like, I can't wait to watch this. Yeah, although I do have some minor complaints, like, you know, emo Bruce Wayne. But I mean, the more you think about him, like, I guess he could be emo. You know, he's plenty angry. You know, I would have preferred if Commissioner Gordon stayed white. You know, Gary Oldman did such a good job with it. The video game, the cartoon, the many, many iterations. You know, that character is supposed to be a white guy. Like, I'm not here to do reverse whitewashing and, like, eliminate white guy roles. He's supposed to be a white dude. Let him be a white dude. But Catwoman, I'm good with. Zoe Kravitz, she looks, like, interesting. She seems like she's going to bring something very, very different to Catwoman. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't know about, like, Robert Pattinson's voice and, well, just him in general. I just feel like, you know, you can almost cast any white guy who can act and is willing to work out. Yeah, he's probably going to do all right as Batman. But I just don't see him getting to that Christian Bale level where he took, like, a crazy actor choice, a crazy actor risk. But that's the type of dude he is. Whereas, I don't know. I don't know much about this dude other than Twilight. He seems fine, but I don't know. I don't think he's going to be, you know, as the actor, very, very memorable, pushing the envelope. I think, you know, the production, the design, all that stuff will make him, his Batman memorable. All right. The thing I've been trying to talk about for two episodes. In fact, I talked about it in take one of this episode, but here's take two. No shorter than the last one, but I'm going to try to be more concise with what I have to say about this topic. And that's people going apeshit and trying to boycott and cancel Dave Chappelle. What the hell society do we live in? What kind of world do we live in where one of the most beloved comedians of all time, this is a dude who's on my Mount Rushmore of all time greats, and you never hear anything bad about this guy. This guy is not like a piece of shit off the stage. He's really done nothing but entertain and bring laughs and joy into people's lives for the better part of the last 20 years or so. He seems like he's a relatively down-to-earth guy. He's a multimillionaire and he's had success since he was very, very young. But he's so you know, he's about as down-to-earth as somebody gets under those parameters. But all that aside, never mind any of that stuff. Just taking this at face value, what they're trying to do. This dude is making transgender jokes in his comedy special. And then these blue-haired big girls and white knight douchebags with their rolled-up plaid shirts and lensless glasses. And they're all coming together and saying, hey, let's take away this man's livelihood just because what he's talking about should outrage everybody. Saying these types of things about this topic, about this group of marginalized people, it should get you in trouble, lots of trouble. Like, what are you friggin' in grade school getting people in trouble? Shut your mouth, jabroni. Go listen to your Fleetwood Mac vinyl album and have some of your gluten-free pizza, you douchebag. It's not like He's standing on a soapbox in the middle of downtown Toronto or in front of any city hall around the world and is shouting at the top of his lungs these types of things minus the joke parts. If he was just out there screaming hate speech, all this is taking place in a comedy show, not meant and not done in a way to incite fear and hate against the transgender people. It's done to, for yucks, it's done to incite laughter and joy from people. It's a form of entertainment. This thing is along the lines of a movie, a book, a song. I'm sure there's plenty of offensive shit in all those mediums, across all those mediums. So are they going to cancel any and every one of those things that offends a few people? Or even tons of people, which apparently is the case here. Apparently there's tons of people who are offended and are getting behind this cause, including people who work at Netflix. What a bunch of entitled psychopaths. Now, I don't know if they did it, but they were certainly talking, if not planning, a walkout to protest that their company is backing this comedy special, The Closer. Now, even though these things happened before my time, thankfully, I'm not an old geezer, but do you remember, like, when people used to stage protests and marches and even walkouts on things that mattered, on things that everybody could get behind, like, you know, standing up against a war that people didn't believe in, or, you know, fighting for better working environment and wages. This is one of those situations where I would say this is a complete misuse of the freedom of speech and the right to assembly. This is not in the spirit of why people in the past fought for the right to do this type of stuff. Back in the day, it was like, oh, we're being treated like complete garbage. We're not being treated like human beings. Let's march on them and let them know how we feel and what we think. And now it's come all the way to, oh my gosh, Dave Chappelle said something that I find offensive on his comedy show. Let's stage a walkout. Let's let my employers know I hate them now. Listen, you SJW white knight douchebag. Do you know how lucky you are to have that cushy desk job of yours? Do you know how lucky you are to be a part of showbiz? And not like the shitty part of showbiz where you starve and in hopes that someday you'll get to feast. I'm sure these sons of bitches at least are considered middle class, if not living a good life in the sunshine list, right? These phony freaking tough guys, have they never heard of tolerance? The world doesn't revolve around you. Life is full of unpleasant shit. What, are you gonna get up in arms and fight every single battle? No, sometimes you just take it on the chin and you move on. You forget about it. You just live to fight another day, fight for a worthy cause. And this isn't even one of those situations. I'm not saying if somebody comes up to you and you're transgender and they shit all over you and belittle you, you should turn the other cheek and let it happen. No, in those cases, let's go to war. But oh my goodness, somebody has a different opinion than me. That's the worst thing in the world. Let me make a stink about it. Walk off my job. Man, as someone who just lost their good-paying, hard-working job, I gotta say, these pieces of crap, you should be so lucky to have a gig like the one you do. Now, I don't know the exact culture of Netflix, but I have to assume It's probably along the lines of a Google, of a Chorus Entertainment, of any number of these bigger companies that, sure, we want you at work 8 hours a day, but we certainly don't expect you to be working 8 hours a day. Feel free to use the gym. Feel free to go down the slide. Case in point for Chorus Entertainment, go hang out in the games room, hang out in the lounge. Just, we expect you to work about 4 to 5 hours per day, but the rest, hang out. Eat whatever you want. It's on us. My goodness, why would you ever take that for granted? Why would you ever turn around and shit on the company that gave you that? Do you know how many people would kill to have a job like these pieces of hemp shoe-wearing hippie-ass D-bags? They don't freaking deserve it. They do not deserve to have all those things if they cannot look past their own shallow, nonsensical, woke-ass, brainwashed egos. First of all, Dave Chappelle should be allowed to make these jokes. Absolutely. Why? Because they're funny. It's called artistic expression. Now, I'm not saying anyone should hate the transgender community or the LGBTQ or blacks and whites or whatever. No, no, no. Everyone should just, like, chill out. Unless somebody's a dickhead, don't hate them. But I am saying it's okay if you don't think the transgender community is the best thing since sliced bread. I am saying it's okay to not look at people being transgender and being like, that's so great. Everybody should be transgender. And again, as long as I'm not being a dick to these people and going after them, I think it's perfectly fine for myself and other people to be like, it's kind of weird, isn't it? And as far as I'm concerned, it's much better that that sentiment is expressed in a funny and entertaining way at a comedy show where things are said. And they've been said for as long as anyone can remember. You don't have to like it. You don't have to listen to it. I mean, if these people can't see that there is some fun to be had, some jokes to be made, and how it might be funny that a dude with a 5 o'clock shadow and a shitty wig and a pair of oranges in his or her dress, it might just be time to have the procedure done. To have the pickle removed from their ass, of course. I'm telling you, I remember one time one of my buddies, we were at the bar, and some quote-unquote woman walked up to him, flirted with him, and then ended off with giving him a kiss on the cheek. You better believe all of us turned to him and was like, so that was a dude. And you better believe every time I run into this guy, I remind him of that. Not to be mean, not to be shitty, but because it's funny. And that's just it. Dave Chappelle himself said something. I watched an interview with him a while ago. And he said exactly that. He's like, I say things not to be mean. I say things because they're funny. And that's just it. I feel like in a comedy club, in a comedy show, whether it's on Netflix or the local comedy bar or whatever, if you're out there and you're not being mean, you're just saying things to be funny because that's what people want you to do, that's what you're there to do, and that's what those venues and these specials were designed for comedians to say funny things. If you do it and you're not being mean, say it. You're allowed to say it. People shouldn't come after you and try to get you canceled. And I'm not talking about myself because, hey, the Kenny Ho Show, you can't cancel the Kenny Ho Show because it's been canceled since day one. Like, have these people never seen comedy shows before? Or were they brought up in such a sheltered environment like the only stand-up they ever saw was at the college, and they brought in like the worst stand-up comedian, like some woke pandering to the liberals and the radical feminist type of stand-up comedian. So basically someone who's not funny. Lots of terrible things happen in this world. I guarantee you these people are not sticking their noses into every single cause and making a stink and trying to make a change. This is just an easy move for them, so they're doing it. If you're good to ignore all that shit, then you're good to ignore this. This nonsense. If Chappelle's style doesn't work for you, if the things he said doesn't work for you, guess what? Netflix has plenty of other shit you can watch. In fact, they have so much stuff, even if you try to watch everything, you would not be able to watch all of it. This is not like, oh, I'm paying $15 a month and I can't even watch what I paid for because of the vulgar language and vulgar content. I'm getting ripped off here. Let me make some noise. Under those circumstances, I kind of understand. If it was you paid $15 a month to the Netflix Chappelle channel, and all that's on the menu for you is this Chappelle special or the previous few that he did for Netflix, then I see a bit more of a case for you to make noise. But at the same time, you could just cancel the goddamn subscription. And my solution to this is, if you don't like Chappelle, don't listen to him. It's as simple as that. Sometimes you just need to walk away. Because shy of doing that and doing what these people are doing, it's kind of like going to a restaurant and you don't like sunny side up eggs. You don't eat eggs and you find it foul. And you go in there and instead of, you know, just not ordering the egg, you go order one of the other 400 items on the menu that does not include egg, but instead you opt for, I'm going to make a huge stink, I'm going to make a bunch of noise and try to get this restaurant shut down because they're serving egg and I don't like it. And these people who work at Netflix to walk out on their company because they don't agree with the stance that their company took on protecting one of their assets, one of their products. This would be the equivalent of employees at a McDonald's walking out on McDonald's because McDonald's was like, you know what? We back the Big Mac. You just work at the place. You don't get to inform and not just, you know, push for, but basically try to strong arm policy about their products. Like if you're an animals rights activist, you can't work at McDonald's and then try to strong arm your way to get them to stop selling meat. Your choices are either continue working at McDonald's while you're still an animals rights activist, being like, I don't agree with this, but I'm just going to do my job and collect my paycheck and pay my bills. Or you can get a job working at some vegan restaurant. Those are your options. You don't get to tell McDonald's, oh, I don't like what you're selling, so stop selling it. That's not your call. That's not your job. That's not your right. So Chappelle, he needs to just keep telling his jokes. Never mind this noise. Because there's plenty of people who do find him funny and do find the transgender stuff funny. Because never forget, it is shit like this that got Donald Trump elected into office because everybody was so sanctimonious and breathing down everybody's neck and got in everybody's business and told everybody what they can and can't do. And so they put the guy who didn't give a shit about any of the political correctness in office just to shut them all up so they could say what they wanted to say and believe in what they wanted to believe. And come on, given the choice between that world or just letting a comedian tell his jokes and letting people who aren't super woke, who aren't completely brainwashed, who do have their own opinions to find like-minded people, not in a hateful or shitty way, but be able to have a laugh, you know, get that stuff off our chest, and then move on with our lives. I don't know, I felt like that was more concise. That was really long as well, but it's far more streamlined, I guess, than the last time I tried that, where I just went on for, like half the episode. It was like 30 minutes of this. Well, that's it. There's no take three. It's like 1:30 in the morning. I have to go to my other job tomorrow. So I'm leaving it at that. That's a wrap on episode 325. Toodles.